We're going to take a few minutes and share with you some things about the persecuted church. There was a day not that long ago when the church spent much of its time and money to reach the unsaved through missions work, and it should. That is the Great Commission. Things have changed radically in the last 20 years. Believers are now suffering unprecedented levels of persecution. 75% of the world's population live in areas with severe religious restrictions. 75%, that's huge. Around 215 million Christians are currently suffering very high and extreme persecution because they call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Much of the persecution has come from Islamic extremist groups whose goal is to impose their religion on the world and kill Christians and those who will not bow the knee. One of the things the Lord has laid on our hearts is to pray for the conversion of Islamic extremist leaders. God changed the world with people like Paul. Can you imagine the effect it would have if these radical leaders were on fire for Jesus? Persecution also comes from other sources, fueled by the spirit of Antichrist. Surely we are approaching or are in the end times. Very recently, just a matter of, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, Billy Graham Association held a summit in Washington, D.C., bringing together 600 representatives from 130 different countries to shine the spotlight on this increased level of persecution and to seek solutions to counteract it. Vice President Pence was one of the speakers. Additional support from Capitol Hill came from Senator James Lankford, a Republican from Oklahoma. Immediately after speaking at the summit on Thursday, Lankford announced to reporters that he, along with Senator Chris Coons and Senator Marco Rubio, had introduced a bipartisan resolution to affirm the commitment of the United States to promote religious freedom and condemn persecution based on faith. The resolution also encourages President Trump to nominate an ambassador at large for international religious freedom within the State Department. We have a holy responsibility before God to join together in this challenge to support our suffering brethren through prayer and in practical ways. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 reads, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Please join us in this effort by taking the prayer list in the bulletin home with you and asking God to engage your heart in this ministry. Also, please join us on the first and third Friday of the month for prayer in the fellowship hall at 6:30.
In the Western Church, America and parts of Europe, we have freedom and safety. That's becoming less true in Europe, and in America, we do not worry about the kinds of things that 70% of our brothers and sisters do worry about. We live in peace and safety, and we can worship our God without fear. There's two reactions, I believe, to the persecuted church from Westerners. The first one is to just continue your Christian life, doing the things that Christians do, go to Bible studies, VBS, devotional, and that's the way we should live. But we shouldn't insulate ourselves from the truth of what's going on, and it's hard to hear about what's going on. And it's the second reaction is to feel like, well, what can I do? I'm over here. Am I supposed to run over to all these areas and do something? I know that was my heart, that I was just like, I gotta go. I have to do something. And yet the one thing, the predominant thing that all the brothers and sisters on the front ask for is prayer. They're not asking to be rescued. They're asking for us not to forget them, to remember them, and to pray that their witness would be strong regardless of what they're called to do, to maintain their testimony, and to have courage to face death, and to be an example to their perpetrators, their tormentors, of the love of Christ. We can do that. We can pray for them. We're not called right now to go to these harsh places. It may come to us, but what we are called to do is to pray. And let me see, where am I? I'd like to read Ephesians 6, because Paul tells us that we have an armor that we need to put on daily. And he says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, because of all that, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We can do that. We've got to remember that we're not against ISIS. We're not against the communist regime in North Korea. That's the spirit of Antichrist. We can fight against that in the spirit realm, and that's what we do the first and third Friday of every night. We pray predominantly. That's what we do. And we also disperse finances where we feel the Lord calling us to do. Right now, we have a video that just sort of shows, it has a sampling of those who have been martyred for Christ, and it really is a call to prayer. So I hope you will watch the video and be moved by it. Thank you very much for your time.
I just finished working on the Insanity of God documentary and had written with several different writers. And then all of a sudden we turned on the news to see 21 Egyptians being beheaded. And it was so unbelievable. It was really hard to take in. And the kind of thing where you go, man, God, you're losing the war. Like, you're losing. You know, what do we do with this? Where are you in the midst of this? And a friend of mine named Jenny Lee Riddle, who's written many songs that Selah has recorded, she called me up because we'd written before about the persecuted church, and she said, we need to write a response for the church to what has happened. And one of the main things that ISIS kept saying was, we are killing these men because they are people of the cross. And as you could see those men praying to God as they were dying, what an incredible testimony, what an incredible sacrifice. And so we wrote this song as a response that we are people of the cross and we will carry the cross of Christ, and to encourage believers that when they are in the moment, that they will stay strong, that they will stay true, and to make that proclamation so that we start to believe that and we start to live that way. And this song is called People of the Cross.
We're heading home, we journey on to see our Savior face to face. Close, we're getting close, our joy is rising higher with each step we take. Forward on to Jesus, we are the people of the cross. We choose Christ and count all else as lost. We won't be shaken, hope won't be taken. We are the people of the cross. If not for grace, we would be lost without the promise that you gave. Praise, be ever praised. Your spirit burns within us brighter every day. We won't be shaken, hope won't be taken. We be faithful till you meet us. Give us your courage as we finish. We wanna hear.